This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to The Educated Investor. My name is Scott Whatley. We are glad you are with us each week. We are glad to have David Cishan with us. Cishan Financial, they're with the Householder Group. Their number, 720-482-1917. You can check out their website, cishanfinancial.com, C-I-C-H-O-N financial.com. So once again, glad to have David Cishan in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Scott. Thanks to be here.
Always great to see you. And also joined alongside Stephanie Cishan Bruno. So, Stephanie, good to see you as well.
You too.
So, man, I love all the different topics we get to cover about retirement. And one of them that can really, really hurt people, Dave, in this is taxes. Mm-hmm. And so today, we're going to start off the topic anyway with minimizing taxes in retirement. So, big topic. Okay. So,
all right,
you got it covered, sir. I know.
Okay. Well, you know, taxes is, of course, one of the risks that we all face. And in retirement, it plays an important part because it affects our cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a believer in the fact that people have the ability to control their taxes. Now, they may not want to at the end of the day or the game or not comfortable with what they have to do that. But you have to remember that when income tax came into being, I think it was like 1912 or so, the Internal Revenue Code was like four questions and two pages, something like that. Well, now we got, what, 90,000 pages. And there are tools in there that people can use to mitigate. Now, we've got to pay our fair share.
Sure.
We have a country that is a great country. We've got to support it. We've got to pay our fair share taxes. But we don't have to be necessarily overly patriotic. We are now currently in probably the lowest tax bracket scenario that we've seen in many, many decades. And, of course, in 2025, our current tax law kind of expires. Who knows what's going to happen?
Right.
Well, I don't think, however, with the deficits that this country runs, that our taxes are going to get lower.
Yeah.
In fact, they just passed a tax law that we talked about before, called the Secure Act, where they're going to be able to get, based on estimates, 30 to 40% more in taxes than perhaps they should on our retirement accounts.
Right.
So, we try to look at ways to help folks minimize taxation wherever possible. It's not always possible.
Yeah.
You know, but it's an area taxation to see if there is a way of doing that. And of course, some of the things that people can look at is looking at their retirement accounts or their IRAs, let's say, and perhaps converting some of those to Roths.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you do convert, you got to pay the income tax on that amount that you convert. But once you convert it to a Roth, at least under present law, it's going to grow tax deferred,
right,
and continue to do that. Effectively, you can call it tax free until you go to take it out, and then it's tax free forever.
Mm-hmm.
Tax free forever is nice.
Yeah. That'll work.
That's nice. But, you know, it is a government program.
Sure.
So they could come back at some point and step in and say, well, going forward, maybe you can't defer it forever.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know.
Right.
Okay. But Roths can play a Roth conversion can play a part. The other thing that people can look at is instead of converting it to a Roth, they might want to convert some of their IRAs to life insurance. Now, I know to some people, that's kind of like a couple of dirty words, life insurance. My God, what are you going to do with that stuff? Well, I mean, life insurance historically has always been sold to people for the benefit of someone else.
Right.
You know, I have life insurance. I die, my wife gets it tax-free. Nice. Okay. But what if that? What happens if I live? How can I use it if I live?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do an analysis for people to see, but if you convert some of the taxable IRA assets that you might have or other retirement assets that you have access to, and you convert that to life insurance, yes, you got to pay the tax on the conversion. It's kind of like paying the tax on the seed, because later on, if it grows, you're going to have a harvest that's going to be tax-free forever. And that's the because of the engine of life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're unhealthy, you know, because with life insurance, with these insurance companies, actuarially, they're going to look at your health and see if you qualify. Well, if you're not the insured, if you're just the owner of the policy, they don't care. You could make someone else the insured that has an interest, maybe your daughter or grandkids or wife or whomever.
Right.
And now you own the contract, and that cash is building, and there's different types of contracts. I won't go into that now, but and it's building and building and building, and the more cash you stuff in it, ultimately it's going to have a chunk of money that you can withdraw the income on. And if you do it the right way,
mm-hmm.
all that income comes out tax-free. If, however, along the way you're taking it out or you haven't started yet or you have started and something happens and that insured person dies or you die and there's a death benefit, that death benefit is tax-free.
Right.
So you got both sides of the equation if need be. But the most important thing is converting taxable income to tax-free income. As I said in the past to people, and I explained to them, is that we have three sources of income. We have income that it's taxable currently, so like maybe employment income,
right,
or your pension that's coming in, okay, or even portions of your Social Security that could be taxable if you have mm-hmm. enough income. That's taxable currently. Tax-deferred income, that's income that you maybe have in your retirement accounts that you're growing and you haven't pulled out yet, so
right,
that's being deferred. And then the third area is tax-free. And I ask people all the time, and same thing in my course yesterday, I said, well, you know, if you had a choice, which one would you like? And they always say, tax-free.
Sure.
Very few people have enough tax-free income.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with tax-free is it doesn't attract the crowd on TV. You know, people don't want to listen. Those guys on TV want some esoteric product program that sounds really wonderful and new. And that's where you should put your money. But
right,
I had a client for years. He was a doctor. I don't know if you know this, but back in the 90s, along other time frames, I mean back in the 50s, the maximum tax bracket on the highest paid individuals was 90%. 90%. So after a certain amount of income, every dollar this guy was earning, 90 cents went to Uncle Sam. So he got up one day and said, this is ridiculous. No more. What I'm going to do is I'm going to buy tax-free bonds, yeah, municipal bonds, whatever, tax-free municipal bonds, let's just say. And he bought them. And when they matured, he'd buy some more. And when they matured, they'd buy some more. I met him, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, and he said, David, what do you think about this? So I looked at it all, and I said, Doc, if you're happy with this, this is good. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple of years ago, he died.
Mm-hmm.
And he had 11.5 million of these tax-frees. His income per year was $485,000 tax-free income a year. He spent $5,000 a month. His universities and other charities were great recipients of this,
sure,
with this money. But it's simple, straightforward, tax-free. You don't have to go crazy. And it's not exciting to talk about. It's not going to be conversation at the mahogany foxhole. But it's going to do the job for a lot of people. And tax-free is very important in retirement because you have more income to spend.
Absolutely.
And isn't that what we all want in retirement? We don't have the big paychecks anymore, so we want to be able to spend money that covers our expenses on an ongoing basis with no pressure.
Right. You're listening to The Educated Investor with David C. Shawn. Also, Stephanie C. Shawn Bruno is with us as well. Once again, their number for a free consultation, 720-482-1917. Just mention you heard the show, and they'll be glad to schedule a time with you. So, Stephanie, real quick to you. I mean, you know, you meet people when they come in, and maybe after a few meetings, series of meetings and stuff, and they do business with you guys, then you get to know them a little bit. Talk just a little bit about the peace of mind that after getting a plan brings. Because you know what? Probably when people walk in, you know, there's some trepidation there. There's some, you know, hey, what's this going to be like, the whole process and all that. But then after everything's done, just talk about that peace of mind it brings people.
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding, especially for people that have recently retired. They come to us. They say, look, I just retired a month ago, or I'm about to retire, and I have this to work with. I'm kind of scared, because how do I know I can live off of this? What are we going to do? And then, you know, after coming in, meeting with David, putting everything into place, visualizing what they want in the future, what they need, and we kind of engage the plan as how they've, you know, based on what they've talked to David about, they feel much better. They know, okay, so next month my income check will start, you know, I'll get my distribution. There's a tangible asset that they're going to receive. They have it in writing. They can contact us every single day, 5 times a day if they want to talk about it. We're always available to answer any questions. They can come in as often as they like. But the bottom line is you know, the comfort level they have with us and with David is, you know, you can't put a price on that.
So, you know, it's a great thing to do, too. I mean, just for the family, it's almost like having a will and trust and all, mm-hmm. or whatever is appropriate for you. But it's almost just like having a will and different things, because we see many times where people don't have anything. And then the chaos that kind of brings, David, to a person's mm-hmm. life when losing a loved one. You've got the loss.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, you don't know anything as a spouse or
right.
child of it. You know, something happened to both your parents, unfortunately, which God forbid, but you know, a car wreck or something, and all of a sudden you don't even know who to call, who to go to. So,
right.
man, to have everything in a plan mm-hmm. yeah. is the answer.
Yeah. Well, it's just helpful.
Yeah.
You know, they know where to go and what to do, who to call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? But I think one of the things that put comfort level at a lot of our clients is the fact that we break it down to a financial house,
mm-hmm.
okay, when people come in. In other words, if you're going to build a regular house, once you have your plans and the lot that you're going to build it on or the property, what's the first thing you do? The first thing you do is either build a footing or a foundation mm-hmm. to put the house on.
Right.
Same thing here. When people come in, I don't care where their investments are. First thing I want to know is, what do you have in your foundation? Mm-hmm. You could just have a little footing like the people in eastern New Jersey do, or mm-hmm. southern Florida, so when the storms come, the house falls over. Or you can build it like where I'm from, which is Connecticut. We have big foundations. And the first thing we do is making sure that whatever assets you have or whatever income you have is in that foundation and can't get destroyed. Everything else after that is, I call it a piece of cake.
Sure.
It's making sure that, one, they understand that they should have something in the foundation. And then once they do, whatever it is, once they do, that comfort level becomes much easier.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because anything can happen above ground, and yet what's in the foundation isn't going away.
Sure.
Whether you like it or not, it's
yep.
there.
Well, David, always great information. Thank you again, sir. We appreciate it.
Welcome.
And Stephanie, thank you as well.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us today for The Educated Investor with C. Shawn Financial. Once again, they're with the Householder Group, 720-482-1917. Have you been considering an RV, or are you looking for a place that will help you keep your RV in top condition? Let me tell you about my friends at Cousins RV. They've got 3 convenient locations to serve you in Loveland, Wheat Ridge, and Colorado Springs, which includes full parts and service departments at all 3 locations. Cousins RV is locally owned and operated by Jim Humble and Drew Bryant, with over 40 years in the RV industry. Cousins RV offers the top manufacturers in the industry, and they have a huge selection of pre-owned RVs at every price point. Service is key at Cousins RV, and they can handle any repair, even offering a mobile RV service. Hey, we all know accidents can happen, and at Cousins RV, they have their own collision center with a paint booth to fit the largest of RVs. Come to the place that has the best Google reviews from any RV dealer in Colorado and ranks number one in customer satisfaction. Owners Jim and Drew are on site daily. Be sure and let them know you heard about them here on Haystack Help Radio.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley and Affordable Interest Mortgage. As the old saying goes, knowledge is power. And in the world of reverse mortgages, this knowledge is critical. Now, welcome to Knowledge in Reverse.
Welcome to Knowledge in Reverse. My name is Scott Watley. This show is brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Mr. Steve Hurley. Steve is the reverse mortgage specialist there. You can reach Steve at 303-885-0254, 303-885-0254. Glad to welcome in studio Kurt Rogers. Kurt's the owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage, and Kurt's going to cover some things today about the pros and cons of a reverse mortgage. So, Kurt, I know we don't have a ton of time to do this, but, hey, we're going to lay out some important facts for people today.
Yeah, there's a lot of myths about reverse mortgages, what they do, what they don't do, how much they cost, you know, how you lose different things. And I think some of the people need to hear the clarity of what is really the truth and what's not the truth. Reverse mortgage, as you know, Scott, it's not for everybody.
Sure.
But it is for a lot of people that need the extra financial boost or security.
Right. All right. So we're just going to talk about some of the myths and, again, some of the pros and cons of a reverse mortgage. And, you know, one of the probably the largest myths out there is that you don't own your home anymore. The bank owns it. Well, guess what? With a regular mortgage, Kurt,
the bank owns that one, too, till you pay it off. But and that's kind of part of the difference where people say that you never owned the reverse mortgage home, which technically you don't, because you're going to stay in the house and you're not going to make payments on it. You still have to pay your taxes and insurance and HOA and do some upkeep, but you don't have to make the mortgage payment. So the thing with the reverse mortgage is the bank owns it. Now, upon your passing, the house stays in your estate.
Right.
And here's where people don't understand how a reverse really works, is they're told that the bank, if something happened to you, they just take it back. Well, no, that's not the case. Because the house goes to your estate. It goes to your kids or whoever you've designed it to go to. At that point, the children have 6 months to a year to figure out what they want to do with it. They're able to refinance it, sell it, take the proceeds from it. Now, we're going to kind of cover the proceeds and how that works as we go through this. But when you have a reverse mortgage, there's a percentage of the value versus what you can borrow.
Right.
Well, that percentage pretty much stays intact throughout, because as you're paying or not paying on the reverse and the payoff's going up, so is the value. So they kind of work together. But you own the home. You have complete control of the home. Unlike a standard forward mortgage, if the market crashes and something happens to you and the payoff happens to be higher than the value, like in 08, that happened
right.
A lot, even though it goes to your kids, they're not liable. They have no responsibility to pay off your reverse mortgage. The bank gets it back, and they take care of it. They cannot come after your estate. They can't come after your money, no matter what. So it actually has a separate little advantage that even if the market goes south.
I mean, really a protection.
Really does.
Yeah.
And most people, you know, like my wife and I have talked about, we don't want to move. The house we're in is the house we're going to stay in. And as long as we're healthy enough to stay in that house, we want to stay in a house, and a reverse mortgage is a good way to do that.
Sure. All right. Again, some of the myths, my payoff continues to increase.
It's really not a myth. It's a fact. It does.
Right.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's something that's hard for us to understand. So let's say you have a reverse mortgage and your payment's $2,000 a month. Your standard payment's $2,000 a month. And of that, $1,500 is principal and interest. The other $500 is tax and insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So if your payoff's $200,000 and you go to a reverse mortgage, they're going to tack roughly $1,500 a month on top of that payoff.
Right.
So every month it's going to go up by $1,500. So over a year it's going to go up by $18,000. So let's look at that. Yes, it's going to go up, but like I said, so is the value. So if the value, let's say, was $300,000 and it goes up by 3% or 4%, it's going up between $12,000 and $16,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the value is going up, but so is the equity. So you're not really losing out. There's other advantages that come in on a reverse. Plus, the thing you forgot is you're not making $1,500 a month payments.
Mm-hmm.
While your payoff went up $18,000, what went in your pocket is $18,000.
Sure.
So now you're able to handle those situations that you might need. For some people, it's paying for the medication. For some people, it's taking care of doctor bills. For some people, it's being able to take a vacation that they couldn't take before, mm-hmm. or pay off debt, or do home improvements. Be able to live a little bit less stress-free because they're now not making that $1,500 principal and interest
right.
payment.
And some people, just a little peace of mind, just looking over and seeing some money.
Yeah, that they can handle it if the car needs brakes.
Right.
And those speed bumps of life come along, and if you're on a fixed income, like many seniors are, that becomes very difficult to be able to withstand any kind of speed bumps that come up. You normally got to get family and friends. And I can assure you, at my age, I don't want to go to my kids and ask mm-hmm. them for money.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my goal.
Right. And, you know, reverse mortgages are really not complicated, but here's a couple of things you got to understand. First of all, you know, Steve Hurley, again, will be glad to sit down with you, sit down with your family members, hey, your CPA, your attorney, whoever you want to go through things. But then, again, another layer that's the advantage for the customer is they go through a counseling where they can, once again, maybe some questions came up between the meeting with Steve and them.
Correct.
Where then they can come up and they're going to get the explanation again from a third party that has no skin in the game whatsoever, right?
They actually have no skin in the game. And some people say it's so complicated on reverse. Well, part of that is because many people thought it was a bad idea going in. And one of the reasons was that your payoff was going up. But when you take everything into considerations, currently right now, many financial planners are advising the use of a reverse mortgage because of its simplicity and what it does. It allows you to keep some of your reserves, some of your retirement money, and defer it down the line because you free up that $1,500.
Right.
So you don't need to have extra money. If you got Social Security coming in and you get an extra $1,500, sometimes that allows you to take your 401k or IRA and kick it down the road a little bit so you can outlive your money. So that's one of the advantages of a reverse mortgage. It's not complicated. You only have to have a few basic things. You have to be over 62, which you win. Mm-hmm. Scott, you're over 62.
Yep. Almost.
Almost. you have to have some equity in your house, and that's all depending by age. You can't currently be in a bankruptcy. They used to allow that to happen, but because of what they call LISA, which is taxes and insurance still have to be paid, okay. They want to make sure you have enough money to do that. So in most cases, that won't work. But those are the basic things.
Right.
Over 62. Now, both people don't have to be over 62. If you got a married couple, your spouse could be 50, 45. It's okay. They'll still do the reverse mortgage for you.
Sure. Good deal. Kurt Rogers with us. This show is called Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage and Steve Hurley. Steve's number, 303-885-0254. It is absolutely a free consultation to talk with Steve, whether by phone or you want to make an appointment, run by the office, he'll come to you. Whatever the case is, Steve will be glad to help you. We're talking about some of the myths now, and now we're going to slip over to some of the benefits of a reverse mortgage. And, Kurt, you just mentioned, hey, you never have to move or make a mortgage payment. To me, you could stop right there.
Yeah. I never have to make a mortgage payment. Again, it's critical. You got to make sure you still pay your property tax, your homeowner's insurance. You got to make the house livable. You can't, you know, let it fall apart. It has to have normal upkeep. If there's an HOA, you still got to pay that. But as far as the principal and interest portion of the payment, you don't have to make that anymore. And as long as you stay in the home 6 months and one day, you can treat that house as a reverse mortgage.
Okay.
Now, if you have a vacation home, and you decide to go to the vacation home for 6 months, minus a day, you're good to go. Or if you decide to live in another part of the country for a period of time, or several, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But your primary residence, it cannot be on an investment, can't be on a second home. has to be on the primary. So if you've lived in the house for 10, 15, 20 years, you don't want to move. You're comfortable with your neighbors. You're comfortable right. with your house. You know it. That's the nice thing about a reverse. It gives you that peace of mind that you don't have to move.
And it's also federally insured.
That's another nice thing about it. That kind of goes back to when I said they can never take your house away from you. You can never lose it. As long as you're living in a house, no matter what the value, they can't come after any of the money. It's yours. The federal government protects you no matter what the value of the home is.
Right. Now, also, like I said, guaranteed place to live. So if something happens to one of the spouses, the other one still gets to live there, correct?
Yeah, and that has been a problem previously. But what they've done to change that, again, we'll go back to that spouse that's 50, let's say, and you're 65, and all of a sudden you're 80, and they're 65. Well, if something happens to you, they don't have to change anything. They're still allowed to stay with the same terms as what the lease was or what the reverse mortgage right. was forever. They get to stay in the house. They don't have to make any payments because the whole reverse mortgage from day one is designed for that person, that youngest person, to stay in that house for as long as they want to without making the principal and interest payment.
Gotcha.
So it really does give you peace of mind. For example, if that was to happen to me, if something was to happen to me and I had a reverse, I'd be very safe with knowing my wife never had to move. She never had to make a payment.
Sure.
So and it if makes you it want, easier on her.
Yeah, and if you want to, I mean, there is some financial flexibility with payment options. I mean, hey, if you want to and you want to throw a little bit back on, you know, you can, right?
And that's the funny thing. Many people, and you bring up a good point, Scott, many people don't realize that if you want to make a payment on your house, you can make a payment on your house. Now, why would I do that? Why would I do a reverse and make payments on the house? The rates are going to be relatively the same. So if I'm making the payment, why am I getting the reverse? Because I don't want the payment. Well, the advantage to that is the flexibility of the reverse allows you to tap your equity. Let's say you owe $100,000 on a house that's worth $500,000, and your reverse mortgage has a line amount of $300,000. That means you have $200,000 available. If you want to pay on it, you can increase that $200,000 to a higher number by making payments. But let's say you don't want to do that. That $200,000 grows every month, every year at the same rate that you're paying on the mortgage. So your equity line, as they call it, is getting bigger every year,
right?
Which gives you so much more flexibility. So making a payment at some times might be beneficial if you're still working at 65, which many of us are doing that,
sure.
up to 70, 75. Continue to make the payment. You still build the equity because it's coming back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to you on this show and other shows about many people look at paying off their house as one of the best things they can do, and I don't disagree with that. But I look at the equity in your house no different than I do an IRA or a 401k. If I'm going to put $1,500 a month away into an account and it's going to grow in value, why is the equity in my home different than a 401k? That's my money.
Right.
I paid to have that equity. Why should I not be allowed to tap that equity when I need it mm-hmm. as I get older?
Sure.
Just like I would my 401k. The advantage to a reverse mortgage is that money's tax-free.
Mm-hmm.
So as it's growing, you're not paying taxes on it when you're taking it out, unlike
sure.
a 401k or an IRA. So I have an added benefit to that.
Right.
So there's some good benefits to that for reverse.
All right. Do you have to do any kind of disclosure, sir?
Nope.
All right.
Yeah, actually, I do.
Right.
Affordable okay. interest mortgage, 7400 East Arapahoe Road, Suite 109, regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191.
Kurt, always great information, sir. Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Call Steve Hurley today. Hey, if you've got questions, figure out if it's right for you. As Kurt said, hey, it's not right for everybody, but you know what? It could be the right tool for you to give you some financial freedom and some financial security. Call Steve today, 303-885-0254.
You've been listening to Knowledge in Reverse, brought to you by Steve Hurley and Affordable Interest Mortgage. If you would like more information about a reverse mortgage, call Steve now at 303-885-0254. That's 303-885-0254. Regulated by DORA, Equal Credit Lender, NMLS 298191.
Hi, Jack Corgan. Shopping for a new car can be a harrowing experience unless you use my favorite car dealer, Len Lyles Chevrolet, just east of I-220. 25 on Colfax, 15 minutes from anywhere. I've worked with them for more than 12 years, and I promise you, Len Lyle is not your typical car dealership. Check out their excellent reviews on Google. They are respectful of your time, not high pressure, and have very progressive pricing because low overhead really does mean lower prices. Len Lyle Chevrolet, go east and pay the least.
Chevy, find new roads.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. My name is Scott Whatley. Glad to have Dr. Shane Stedman with us, Integrated Health Systems. As you just heard, integratedhealthdenver.com is the website. Dr. Stedman, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Scott. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Hey, I want to get to our topic a little bit, but just wanted to ask you any thoughts on this coronavirus going around. I just hit my phone before we came on air here. A few more people have died in Washington State, so I think that death total is up to 5 or 6. So any thoughts on that just in the medical world?
You know, I've been trying to stay up on that. I think what I find fascinating with all the stuff I'm reading and hearing is I think there's been more people have died from the flu than the coronavirus. So I think that's one thing to kind of keep into consideration. It seems also a lot of the things that I've read, I think there was even somebody from the CDC. I saw either today or yesterday or today was talking about, you know, that I think a lot more people are scared, you know, than they should be. So I've heard some of that too. I heard if you have proper hygiene, they say like one of the best things you can do is wash your hands. You know, so I think it's kind of similar to the flu and the fact that it seems like the people who are that are becoming sick are those are who are immunocompromised, who are older and younger.
Yep, I saw that too. I think the ones in Washington State were like over 50, and then they said had some underlying other health issues. So
most of the people I've heard have had underlying health issues. That it's kind of like the same thing with, you know, if you have an underlying health issue and then you catch, you know, the flu, you know, that is definitely not a good thing. And so from what I understand and what I've read, it seems to be incredibly similar to what people experience with the flu. So I think if you wash your hands and, you know, take care of yourself and, you know, take your supplements, eat healthy, keep your stress down, all the things that we used to talk about on this show.
Right.
You know, I think you shouldn't have much to worry about. But, you know, I think with anything, I mean, you can catch, you know, any virus, whether it be the flu or, you know, any of these other viruses out there and kind of go from there. But, yeah, I saw something, it was another report that came out, and they're showing all the different viruses that we're exposed to. And I mean, it's like thousands and thousands of more people have actually died from all the other viruses this year than that one. But I think there's definitely, a lot of people are super nervous about it. So, you know, with that being said, I think it's tough. I think, take care of yourself and proper hygiene and all of that stuff. And, I mean, it should be good, just like you hope so on the flu, you know. But if you catch it, then, you know, try to take your supplements, you know, things like that.
Sure.
I don't have a lot of great stuff. I'm trying to read as much as everybody else is too.
Yeah, exactly. Once again, Dr. Shane Stedman is with us, owner of Integrated Health Systems. He joins us each week for our show, and or one member of his team will. And we talk about a lot of different things on the show. And we're going to talk today about brain injuries. And, you know, this is something, Dr. Stedman, you know, unless it happens in your family, people don't think much about it. But, I mean, when you look at statistics on this, I mean, you want to talk about numbers. I mean, brain injuries happen a lot, don't they?
They do. And I think there's so many brain injuries that you don't even realize are brain injuries or head injuries, you know. So I think when people talk about like seeing stars, you know, you hit your head and you see birds, you know, you see flashes of light. You know, those are all things that, you know, it may not be like a traumatic brain injury, but it might be like a mild concussion or a minor concussion. And even those, you know, some sometimes can have like, you know, some implications like brain fog or some blurred visions, or, you know, maybe your balance got thrown off, you know, maybe start getting headaches, you know, so you can have different things. And I think when people kind of categorize these or really understand the signs and symptoms, you're like, oh, there's a lot of people. And even yesterday I was getting my hair cut, and, you know, the lady's like, oh, what do you do? And I was like, you know, it worked, you know, my clinic, we help, you know, people with brain injuries and concussions. And she's like, oh, I think I've had a couple of those. You know, she goes, but I don't think it affected me. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, hopefully it didn't affect your eyesight cutting your hair. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You know, so I was kind of laughing in my head like, oh, yeah, who knows? You know, but she's like, yeah. She goes, but every kid's had a concussion probably. She goes, every kid has fallen and hit their head on the concrete, or, you know, ran into the corner of a furniture, or, you know. I'm like, yeah, I mean, probably most kids have had some kind of funky fall and hit their head, and who knows, you know, kind of what could have, could not happen. You know, so it's, I think a lot more people have them than what we really talk about.
Sure. And, you know, I tell you, every person I've ever mentioned this to since we've been doing this show and ask about, have you ever had a concussion? And almost everybody thinks you have to be knocked out or lose consciousness to have a concussion. And probably nothing could be more of a lie or a myth, right?
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think, yeah, and it's probably, I think that's why this is so good to have, you know, like, March is brain aware, you know, traumatic brain injury awareness month, you know, and I think it's good to kind of explain, here's what the signs and symptoms are of a brain injury, you know, and I think people can be like, oh my gosh, maybe that's what's happened to me, you know. So I think that's what's good about kind of this month and really bringing it to awareness and talking about it all month long.
Absolutely. All right. You sent me some information in here in that Integrated Brain Center, so don't get confused here. We're talking about both companies here, Integrated Health Systems and Integrated Brain Center. There's also Dr. Stedman's. But you focus on three important ingredients for brain rehabilitation. So kind of walk us through there.
Absolutely. You know, I was always taught, like, the very, very first class I ever took on brain rehab. Yeah, I remember they said, they called it neuron theory. They go, neuron theory 101. Every nerve or every neuron in the brain has to have fuel, it has to have oxygen, and it has to have stimulation. And they're like, that is the foundation of all neuron health and function. You know, and so I definitely carried that concept into our rehabilitative model. And this is why we have a functional medicine piece to our practice. And this is actually kind of how, you know, if anybody ever was like curious, like, how does Dr. Stedman get into functional medicine? Because, I mean, people who've known me for a while actually came into this world saying, I want to do brain rehab and do neurological rehabilitation. But then it's like, why is there this functional medicine side? Mm-hmm. And the functional medicine side started because neurons have to have fuel and they have to have oxygen. And so when we look at the fuel aspect of things, it's really simple. You have to have blood sugar. And this is why this tends to get talked about a lot on this show, in our office, in our clinics with patients. And, you know, because if you don't have fuel, your brain just doesn't work very well. And it's just kind of a simple concept, whether it be like anxiety or depression, brain fog, concentration, migraines, you know, nausea, vomiting, all these different things, you have to have fuel. And so fuel is probably one of the biggest things that we look at. And this is why Jess has a job working here, is because she helps to make sure that everybody has good fuel when we're trying to do rehab.
Sure.
The second part is oxygen. You know, and oxygen comes, you know, in kind of different formats. Breathing is definitely one of them. You know, so, you know, at the very core, you make sure everybody's breathing well, which you'd kind of be surprised on how many people don't breathe very well. But still, you have to breathe really well. And I think the other part that people don't think about when we talk about oxygen is that you can actually have an anemia, so like an iron anemia, And when you're anemic, it's really hard to deliver oxygen to all tissues in the body. And so that becomes another aspect of like blood chemistry and functional medicine, is making sure that people aren't anemic. And so this is kind of how, these are like kind of the three basic things that we do with all patients when we're going through brain rehabilitation.
Right. Now, let me go back to the fuel for one second there. And the reason why, yeah. You know, because I just finished all that blood work with you as well. And one reason we you know, really talk about that a lot is because when you're evaluating all that glucose and all that, I mean, that's what your A1C, insulin, what else are you kind of looking at that for that fuel?
Yeah, so we're looking at glucose, we're looking at A1C. I mean, because we talked about blood sugar last month, you know, on the show. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, we're looking at, you know, A1C, glucose. We can actually get an idea of fuel from, like, triglycerides that we talked about, and then also another enzyme called, like, lactic acid dehydrogenase. You know, so there's a couple markers on blood chemistry where you can look at somebody's fuel source. And then we look back and we say, okay, well, how are you eating? Because then we can get into, you know, and this is why the questions of intermittent fasting come up and keto diets and all these different things, why some people don't do well, why some people do well, and on and on and on and on. But, yeah, that's one great way of looking at it, is kind of looking at blood work along with their history.
Right. Dr. Shane Steadman is with us once again. It is Integrated Health Systems and also the Integrated Brain Center. And you're going to be doing a webinar. We'll mention this a couple of times because people join us at different times here during the half hour. But you're going to be doing a webinar on this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think what everybody's going to see is we kind of, in our office, we've definitely changed up our formats. So I think we're going to make this very, very educational, like, throughout the month. So this month, each of us that are going to be on the radio, like Jess and Jake and Dr. Maynard and myself, we're all going to be talking about these topics, and then we're going to do a webinar tomorrow night or on Tuesday night. So I think this is great because there's some people like, ooh, I want to learn more. You know, we can just talk and we can go into details and have, like, a little presentation and a slide. And I think what's great about webinars is that you can sit in your own home. You don't have to fight the traffic because nobody wants to do that anymore.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we used to do the in-person, which was, you know, I think it's great to do in-person because I think you get hands-on, you get to meet people.
Sure.
It's pretty cool. But I think the webinars are easy because everybody's just so dang busy these days. So mm-hmm. We're going to do webinars every Tuesday after the radio show.
Okay. Well, boy, that's great. And, you know, I mean, we talk about this a lot, too, with just our regular primary care doc. I mean, we may never even figure out something's going on with our brain there because normally we go to them for different issues. But there, with all the different issues and different conditions, I guess I could call it, that you guys cover there with your team, I mean, man, what a great way to just make sure your overall health. But it always seems to go back to what we eat, man.
Yeah, it does all the time. And it's fascinating because, I mean, you do run across these patients that will come in like, I got blurred vision and I get dizzy when I stand up, you know, and then you find out, oh, their blood sugar is too low, you know. So it's like, okay, I need you to eat a little bit more. We need to get some more protein and some more fat into your diet, you know, and then we'll see how you feel. And then also I'm like, oh, I'm not dizzy anymore. And like, okay, well, now we know the cause. So the next time you get dizzy, that's just your sign that you need to eat.
Right.
It could be, it's, sometimes it's, it is just that simple.
Right. You know, and just looking through some of the material I had here that you sent me, when it said make sure your doctor evaluates you for anemia, I think a lot of us hear that word, but what does that word really mean?
Yeah, I think this is great. The reason why I threw that in there, because the other thing we're doing too, and Scott's got is we actually, everybody's making an article. So we're keeping in one theme, and there's going to be an article and a blog and a webinar and a radio show. We're really going to educate people. So this article, you know, when I wrote it, I was like, I wanted people to be like, hey, you know, you have to have your doctor check you for an anemia. And the reason why I find very often that a lot of docs aren't doing that. I think a lot of them will look at hemoglobin, and hemoglobin is on your red blood cell markers. And so if your hemoglobin goes too low, then the doctors go, oh, you have an anemia. But what I find is very, very, very few practitioners actually run a couple other markers, and one's called iron, and the other one's ferritin. So you find out what's circulating in your body and what's stored in your body. And so some of the earliest signs to know if you're actually pushing against that anemia trends, if you're really kind of crossing over to the other side, is you look at your storage. Mm-hmm. And if your storage of iron is low, then that means you don't have very much reserves left. So it's kind of like going into your pantry, and you know that you love, we're going to say, like chicken stock. So you got some chicken stock that you make your dishes with, and you go into the pantry and you go, hey, we only got like one box left. And they're like, oh, we need to get some more at the store, right? So you're not out of chicken stock, but you only got one box left, which means if you use that, you're now deficient. And that's what ferritin tells you. Is ferritin lets you know, like, hey, we only have a certain amount left in storage that if we end up using that, we're going to be deficient, and that's anemic. And so that's an important piece, because you find this especially with, like, women who are younger who are still having menstrual cycles, that once a month they lose iron. And so if you're kind of sitting where you don't have very much in the pantry and all of a sudden, boom, you have a cycle, you'll hear people, like, say, as soon as I start my period, I don't feel well. I get migraines, I get dizzy, I get moody, I get fatigued, I can't concentrate. And you're like, oh, well, that's your brain saying I'm not getting enough fuel, mm-hmm. Or oxygen. So this is why we say always ask your doctor to run ferritin with all of your iron markers to find out, do you have enough in the pantry?
Gotcha. Now, in my case, and I'm not worried about HIPAA here, I got a little bit extra of ferritin. And so what does that
mean? He'll give you some.
Yeah. What does that mean for people like myself that, numbers are a little bit higher in the ferritin?
Yeah. So ferritin is such a fascinating marker, because on one hand, it can tell you don't have enough in the pantry. And then on the other hand, it's like opening up the pantry door and that's all you see is chicken stock. You're like, oh my gosh, we have chicken stock forever, and so when you see too much ferritin or too much storage of iron, your body actually, it's really fascinating how your body has these mechanisms to store it. And so on a rainy day, or if there's stress, so it's kind of like, we can even like, let's tie it back to the coronavirus a little bit, because I've heard this too, how people are like going to the grocery store and they're stocking up. I've heard all these stories where people are like stocking their pantries and stocking their basement and stocking all these things because of the pandemic. And so now everybody's like, buying everything on the shelf. So when you see that stress among people, right, and especially with this virus, and all of a sudden, like, now their pantry is full of canned goods. So it's kind of the same thing in your body, is that when your body kind of goes through stress or it goes through inflammation, it can actually store more of these canned goods. And so ferritin is actually a marker that when it goes too high, it can show that there could be some inflammation in the body. So on one hand, it says, hey, you might have anemia. On the other hand, it might be inflammation.
Gotcha. Again, Dr. Shane Steadman is with us. Join them for this webinar. This will be tomorrow night, Tuesday, March 3rd at 6 p.m. And they can just go on your site and register. And is that true?
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, there's a couple different ways. So they can... They can call the office that's easy and say, hey, I want to, register, and they'll give them, like, the number. You can also go to our Facebook pages, so we have, like, Integrated Health Denver and Integrated Brain Centers. So you can go on those two, and just there's a link where you just click, and it takes you right over.
Okay.
So that's pretty easy. I've also put it on LinkedIn. So we've been putting that link all over the place. I can also send it to you. I guess, Scott, if there's a place where people can go on the KLZ.
Yeah, I can put it on our Facebook page at Haystack Help Radio as well. And the office number is 303-781-5617, 303-781-5617. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about three must-haves for brain injuries, which this webinar is going to talk about. Dr. Steadman's already covered fuel and oxygen. And next on the list is stimulation. So cover that for us.
So stimulation is just activation, stimulation, you have to stimulate the brain. So there's a fine line, and probably I'll talk about that more tomorrow, but there is a fine line between those who go, oh, I can't handle stimulation, so I have to be in the dark. And I get that. And then there's also some people where you have to actually, like, exercise the brain, so to speak. So you have to go to physical therapy for the brain, or have some, like, physical therapy types of exercises. And this is, and you see a lot of people and I get it, where they're told, like, hey, no screen time, be in a dark room, don't go in crowds, and, you know, and so they kind of live in a cave for, like, weeks and weeks, and some patients are months and months and months and months. And I'm like, at some point, you have to figure out, okay, which part of the brain is not working, and then what rehab strategies can we apply to make it stronger? So if we take, like, your ankle, you know, if you roll your ankle, yes, rest is the best thing. You know, everybody learns, like, rice, you know, rest, ice, compression, and elevation. So sure. We all know to, like, get our leg up and let it rest. But you wouldn't lay in bed and let your leg rest for, like, months on end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we'll do that with our brain. Because at some point you say, okay, I got to get to the physical therapist and I got to get some ankle exercises and use some bands and use some weights and mobilization and whatever else. But in the brain world, we don't do that. We just kind of like hang out in the dark and we don't do anything. And you have to do some kind of stimulation. You got to do some kind of rehab. And I think that's what a lot is kind of missing out there.
Sure. And, you know, I mean, again, a cool part for everybody listening is they can come to you. And all of this is under one roof. Like I say, you got Jess there that handles nutrition side, you on all the things that you handle on your side, brain, Jake. I mean, all your Dr. Maynard, all the different things. And it's cool to have, because here's where a lot of people get frustrated is they got to go to different people. They got to explain everything 100 times. Everybody's approach is different. And when all of your docs are on the same page, so to speak, and understanding what's going on, man, your ratio for success has to be way higher, right?
I feel that way. I mean, I definitely feel like having all of us talking about the cases constantly really helps us get there faster, you know, because, I mean, you never know. You might have this awesome thought and go, oh, I was thinking late last night. Because, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about patients, or you're driving to work and you're thinking about a patient, or all of a sudden pops in your head, or, you know, you're talking to one of the other docs and you're just talking about somebody, and all of a sudden you go, ooh, I wonder if that's what it is, you know. So I think when you have the approach where you're looking at all the facets of a patient, you know, in a holistic manner, you look at, you know, what they're eating and their blood sugar and their iron and their activation and what they can handle and not handle, and in the mental health side, and what has that done to their life? Could they keep a job? Did they lose their scholarship? Did they lose their position on their team? You know, all these different things play a role, because somebody might be doing really well, but mentally they're just not doing well. Or somebody is actually doing really well, but they just aren't eating. So I think it's a multimodal or multifaceted approach, where you're bringing multiple things together to solve the problem.
Right. Once again, this webinar will be tomorrow night, Tuesday, March 3rd at 6 p.m. You can call the office, 303-781-5617. You can go to their Facebook page, Integrated Health Systems, or Integrated Brain. Is it Integrated Brain Center, I believe, right?
Yeah, Integrated Brain Center.
Okay, for that. And they can get you the information. And, you know, education plays a big role in what you do. I mean, good night. You're out number of weekends all throughout the year teaching other docs on different things. And I think this is just what another thing that makes you different is you're not just, you know, treating patients as they walk in. You want to give them education to let them understand what's going on with them. And then I think that's helps us recognize what's going on with us, and that the help is right there for us with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've already been looking at, like, you know, when somebody registers, you know, I get to see it. And there's actually patients that are going to be on the webinar. So, I mean, this is what we're doing for, like, Haystack. This is what we're going to do, like, every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people who want to be educated, who want to learn more, we're going to do this every Tuesday. So it's going to be each of us are going to do it on different days. You know, and I've already seen, like, patients that are on that list, that patients that have had concussions, you know. So it'll be even great for them to be like, hey, do you remember when we said you need to eat? You know, don't forget. Because we all need to be reminded, and sometimes you fall off the bandwagon. And, you know, just so it's great to educate and have that place where you say, hey, I'm going to keep learning more and more and more. You know, so we'll do that this month. And I think next month we're talking about maybe doing, like, IBS and talking about digestion and how the brain interacts with that and autoimmune conditions and so forth and so on. So, yeah, it's going to be very, very educational.
Good deal. And, you know, Kevin Flesh and I, we came by and saw you a week or so ago, and we were just briefly talking about car accidents. And that's just another area where, you know, if you've been involved in a car accident of late and maybe you're noticing a few symptoms of just things are not clear, this would be a great webinar for them to tune into, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because I think with auto accidents, I mean, those are whiplash injuries are, in my mind, kind of similar to brain injuries. They present the same. They look the same. You even find some neurological imbalances. If you definitely have been in a car accident, you know, this is a great, great webinar to kind of listen to, even for a friend. And there's been a ton of, I think the past 3 weeks, a ton of people have been slipping and falling on the ice. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, there's just been so much ice out there that it's been really common, you know, hitting the back of their head when they land on the ground. So we've kind of seen a lot of like neck and head injuries lately from ice and black ice. And yeah, it's just been a little bit nutty with the cold weather.
Yeah. And just a couple of minutes left here, but you know, even walking through, I'll call it the brain side of your practice over in the other room there and all the different things that you have, take just a minute and just kind of talk about some of the testing that you're able to do right there at your facility.
Yeah, we're able to look at the vestibular system. So when you look at like vestibular therapy, which people are familiar with, we actually have all the equipment to look at the vestibular system and assign therapies and exercises. We actually have an eye doc that comes in that can do vision therapy. So we work on that. We have the availability to do like testing, like motor testing, sensory testing. People have neuropathies or they can't coordinate their body movements or multitask. So we have all the equipment for that. And then we actually have a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. That's another thing that people are out there looking for, but we actually have one in the office. So that's oxygen, remember?
Yeah.
Glucose oxygen stimulation. So that's why a hyperbaric oxygen chamber works really well. So some of those patients will put them in and just saturate their whole entire body and brain with oxygen, you know, so they can get flooded. And oxygen has some healing potentials, as well as it activates and helps the neurons in the brain. We do a lot of different kind of cool brain therapies in the office.
And how long is a session? And I've never been in one of those, but I've heard a lot of great things about it. A lot of NFL players have talked. I think it was Shannon Sharp back in the day talked about, you know, having one and using those a lot. How long do people usually stay in that hyperbaric chamber?
Usually it's about 15 minutes to get them to sea level. So you're kind of taking them down and then they stay there for about an hour or so. And then you bring them back, you know, into altitude. So you're really just bringing them down at sea level set and then super saturating their tissues. So I would say total about hour and a half. So it's nice. Some people take naps. A lot of people take naps. Some people read a book. Some people just hang out and have some quiet me time. Yeah, it's not a bad place to be.
Absolutely. All right, folks, again, this webinar will be tomorrow night, Tuesday, March 3rd at 6 p.m. You can call the office to register, 303-781-5617, or go to their Facebook page. As we mentioned, Integrated Health Systems or Integrated Brain Center, and be able to tune into that seminar tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. So, Dr. Stedman, as always, thank you, sir, and we will see you soon, sir.
All right, Scott.
All right. Dr. Shane Stedman, Integrated Health Systems.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.